children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coats and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet shall take it not warning. If the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. I read to you Ezekiel 33, 1 through 5. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers and doers of his word.
Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come before you this morning giving you thanks that we are all still in health and still able to communicate with each other. Father in heaven, we pray and ask that during this time of turmoil that we're in, that somebody somewhere would be awakened to the fact that you deserve our reverence and that time is winding down. We pray and ask that people will use this time to reevaluate their life and reevaluate the directions in which they've been going. We pray, Father in heaven, that you will soon bring about a medicine that will render this coronavirus no more harmful than a cold. We pray, Father in heaven, for those who are in research right now trying to find cures and vaccines. We pray for all those who are sick with this virus. We pray, Father in heaven, that they will be lifted up and healed. And we pray, Father in heaven, that the truth will come out about this virus. That, Father in heaven, we pray that our government will do the right things. And we pray that the people will soon be able to get their lives back together. We pray, Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, that everyone who is using this virus for their own advantage will be found out and dealt with by God, by you, Heavenly Father above. We pray that this is over soon. We pray and ask your blessing upon the messenger today and all the messengers across the land who are doing their best to get messages out today. We pray and ask, Heavenly Father, that you bless us in this time of difficulty with people shut in, that we will find it within ourselves to deal with all those around us that are difficult to deal with sometimes. We pray, Father in heaven, that no more foolishness and no more bad things will occur right now. There's still too many things going on in the world. People are ignoring this coronavirus. We pray that we all will pool our energy and our prayer and our prayers towards getting through this. And we know that this too shall pass.
Yes.
Father in heaven, we give you thanks for everyone that our families are healthy and that everyone is in their right mind this morning. We give you thanks for this service and for this day. And these things we pray and ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Christ, we bring you greetings. We thank God for allowing us this opportunity to come together. And we're so grateful to him for allowing us to be introduced to this modern day technology through Minister Pritchett. And we're so grateful that we're able to come together and worship together. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. And the Bible says in Matthew 18 and 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And I want you to know that the Lord has brought us together and he is in our midst. In the name of Jesus Christ. So we would like to welcome you aboard and let us worship him together. We thank God today for Minister Pritchett, Jerome, who's going to bring us the word of God. And we thank God for the first time that we'll be able to also have the Lord's Supper together. So at this time, I give to you, we need no introduction, the man of God, my son, Minister Pritchett. Let us hear him at this time.
Okay, apologies, we had just a little bit more on the program. We should have a response at this time by Sister Mama Pritchett.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. I see my family. I'm so glad to see everybody on the on this Zoom thing. We thank you, Jerome, for getting this together. But I'm to give a response. And I know we're all just glad to see each other and be in the land of the living and watch out for, like Minister Reed said, let's just be careful and mindful of this virus. And I believe it's temporary. But I just want to leave you with this. Thank you for the welcome, Pastor. These words, the blood still works. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. And at this time, we'll have a selection by our guest choir. We hope that you will enjoy this.
Oh,
Guest choir of ours. If you enjoyed it, give a round of applause. Let me see if you enjoyed that.
Amen.
All right.
Beautiful choir.
Let's see. Let me get the audio back going here on the Zoom. Okay. Can y'all hear me?
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. For some reason, I'm not able to hear you all. One moment.
Here's Sister Carrie, man.
Test 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Okay, one moment. I'm still not able to hear anyone.
We hear you.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes. Yes.
I see your mouth is moving, but I just can't hear anybody.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay, we're going to just go ahead and proceed. I'm sorry, I just don't know why I'm not able to hear everyone. So I should be able to hear you.
We hear you. We hear you.
Minister Christian, can you hear anybody?
Okay. Without further ado, we're just going to go ahead and proceed here. I don't know why I'm not able to hear anyone at this time. I don't know if that had something to do with the video or what.
You can hear everybody. And the baby.
Hello, hello. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
We can hear everybody else too. I hear Kathy. I hear Sister Pritchett as well.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning,
Mom. Morning, Dog. How you doing? Yeah, we can hear everybody, Minister. They can hear us, and we can still hear you.
Morning, Bishop. Okay, I'm not saying nothing just yet. If you can hear me, I'm just trying to get the audio back in where I can hear all of you.
Let's just say the host has unmuted all participants. Okay.
Stop and write.
Hey, Laverne, thank you for my surprise.
Everybody's off of mute, but like I said, I just can't hear anybody.
That's all right. Go ahead.
And I don't know if I log out and sign back in, can I still get back in with all of you on the phone?
Okay,
there we go. I can hear you.
All right,
thank you for your patience. Pastor, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Able to hear Pastor. I just heard Sister Pritchett. Sister Lopez, yes, are you there?
Eight, four.
Yes, I'm here.
Seven.
Six. We're all here.
Yeah, we can hear each other still.
Hey.
Okay, Pastor. Okay, now I can hear everybody. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to put everybody back on mute. Y'all can help me sing the song in the comfort of your home. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No, the hell I know if thou will draw thyself from thee. No.
I know.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the God.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, the Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this appointed hour, Lord, to come and preach your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your grace that is sufficient for us, Lord, and your mercies that are new every morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for being the creator, the sustainer, and our deliverer, Lord, and our redeemer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because, Lord, besides you, there is no other. And, Lord, we know, Lord, at this time while the world is on edge, Lord, about what's going on, Lord, we know, Lord, that you're only sounding the alarm right now to get our attention. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, because as believers in Christ, Lord, we should not be worried in well-doing. But, Lord, we thank you, Lord, because, Lord, we know that you died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And, Lord, we know, Lord, that not only did you die, Lord, but you rose again, Lord. And not only did you rise, Lord, that you ascended into heaven, Lord. And you said that the same way, Lord, that you went up, Lord, is the same way that you're coming back. And, Lord, we believe and trust in you, Lord. We have faith in you, Lord, for you told us not to put our trust in man, because man will fail us every time. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. We ask, Lord, that I decrease, Lord, that you increase, Lord, so that your word may go forth. Lord, that someone will be touched, Lord, someone's heart and someone's mind will be changed, Lord, that they may draw closer to you. Lord, help us, Lord, to see you, Lord, more clearly. Lord, help us, Lord, to walk with you more closely, Lord, and help us, Lord, to love you more dearly. It's these things we ask in your darling son, Jesus' name, we do pray. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bible and ink pen and notepads, we'll ask that you will turn with me to the book of St. Matthew, chapter 4. St. Matthew, chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. St. Matthew, chapter 4. Verses 1 through 11. All right, St. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. If you have it, say amen. Amen, amen. And it reads, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto them, unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. I want to use as a topic for our next few minutes or so, stop prostituting your soul know your worth. Stop prostituting your soul. Know your worth. And as a subtopic, I want to use, this is where I draw the line. This is where I draw the line. Stop prostituting your soul. Know your worth. And as a subtopic, this is where I draw the line. First, if I may apologize to our Bible scholars and historians and our horologists, those who study the calendars and those who study the clocks. And please know that I'm fully aware that this Sunday, according to the calendar, is considered Palm Sunday, which means scripturally I should be about 17 chapters over in chapter 21, in which Matthew, the tax collector and the disciple of Jesus, talks about his account of the entrance of Jesus when palm branches, cloaks that was considered fine cloths, were placed in his path. Before his arrest on Holy Thursday and his crucifixion on Good Friday, while I was wrestling in my spirit on what word I was going to bring today, God said, let me make it easy on you. And this is what I want you to say. He said, tell my people it's time to stop being a harlot. It's time to stop prostituting yourself and stop lying to yourself, because your lies are actually becoming your truth. And if you're going to serve me, it's time to serve me 100%, because 99 and a half simply just won't do. He said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But let me be clear. The Lord didn't tell us that. The Lord did not tell us that. This is a covenant he made with Solomon. Go back and read it. But he did tell his followers in St. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. And it said that the disciples came unto him saying, Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That word converted is mean to be changed. And I'm sorry, dear hearts, the only person that can change anybody is God. And my first point in our text, first point is recognize who or what is leading you to eternal damnation. Recognize who or what is leading you to eternal damnation. Know that Jesus, he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, the Bible says that he was what? He was hungry. Shortly after identifying with the sinners in his baptism, Jesus then identified with them again in severe temptation. This was a necessary part of his ministry. So he truly was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. It's a remarkable contrast, because the glory following Jesus' baptism and the challenge to be tempted by the devil, the contrast just before this, that he had the cool waters of the Jordan when he was baptized, and now he's in the barren wilderness. Then he had the huge crowds, And now he's in solitude and in silence. Then the Spirit ascended upon him like a dove. And now the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. Then the voice of the Father calling him beloved son. And now the hiss of Satan, the tempter. Then he was anointed. And now he's under attack. Then the water baptism. Now the fire of temptation. First the heavens open. And now all hell is about to break loose. Jesus did not need to be tempted to help him grow. Instead, he endured temptation, both so that he could identify with us, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, and chapter 4, verse 15, and to demonstrate his own holy, sinless character. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 13, we go there and take a look at James chapter 1. Verse 13. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So the Holy Spirit might lead us to a place where we be tempted, but the Holy Spirit cannot tempt us. This is not to prove something to God, who knows all things, but to prove something to us and to the spiritual beings watching us. Temptation is a certainty for everyone. It's no doubt about it. We're all going to go through temptation. But yet Jesus' temptation was more severe. And it was more severe because he was tempted directly by the devil himself. It was also more severe because there's a sense in which temptation is relieved by giving in. And yet Jesus never yielded. Therefore, he bore the levels of temptation in which we would never, never know, in which we would never, never experience, because he dealt with Satan directly. And something I want to point out is that the Bible says, if we go back to St. Matthew chapter 4, it says in verse 2 that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. Matthew points out both the barren desert and the Judean wilderness. And it points out that here Jesus, he's gone through a severe physical condition after such a long fast. It is said that when hunger pains return after such a long fast, that he was hungry. And it indicated that he was subject to being starved to death. You know, sometimes we think that we go without a meal or two. We think that we may miss a breakfast or brunch. And for you know, we think our stomach start, as Olivia says, Daddy, my stomach is talking. But this particular point in time, what he was going through, he was starving. And some of us really don't know what starving is. But here he is recognizing that he is a man and that he was starving. Something about this 40 days and 40 nights that you will also notice that in the Bible, both in the days of Noah, both in the days of the Israelites and in the wilderness, if you notice at different occasions throughout the Bible mentions a 40-day period, especially in the wilderness. God always takes his children to a place to re-educate them. He prepares them in an area which is neutralized from outside influences. Somebody said COVID-19. The wilderness experience, God always takes his children to a place to re-educate them. And he prepares them in the area where they are neutralized from outside influences. In this appointed time right now, we're supposed to be using this experience as a re-education to get back to God the Father, to get back to his word. If you notice that the church doors are shut down, are closed. Neutralize ourselves from other influences. We're supposed to be social distancing and supposed to be in shelter in place. Thank God for COVID-19 so we can get back to the place where we need to be. Somebody said, what? Thank God for COVID-19? Yeah, this is our opportunity to get back closer to God. So here, this was a period, it was a period where he was dependent on nobody but God the Father, just like right now. No matter what is going on the news, no matter what the president of these United States, no matter what these doctors are saying, we are in a place right now that we are dependent on nobody but God. And here they want to test and get medications of some tuberculosis vaccine over 100 years old and say that this might be a potential help and to slow down. But wait a minute, you mean to tell me somebody got to get tuberculosis injected in them? It's still a respiratory issue. We are in a place where we are dependent on nobody but who? But God. And Jesus learned obedience through the things which he had suffered, according to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. But man, some of us, we're not even learning nothing. Some of us, we keep choosing to suffer and go through the same thing, time after time, mess after mess, in our lives. And you know, God said that he will turn us over to a reprobate mind, to where that which you believe is true, that's unholy and unrighteous to God the Father, but you keep wanting to play God and call yourself playing God and psych yourself out. He said, you know what? That's okay. What you think is true, okay, go ahead. I love you just that much. If you want to die and go to hell, I'm not going to hold you back. I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. When we look at this word prostitution, and the definition of it, it talks about a woman who is engaged in intercourse for money, a harlot, or the other word, you know, that I'm trying to be careful not to say we have kids online. But if you put 304 in the calculator and turn it upside down, you get my point. But it talks about even a man who's engaged in acts for money, a person who is willingly using their talent or their ability in an unworthy way, using it for money. And this is where we have to say, we have to draw the line, church, because we are children of God. We're supposed to be children of God, but yet we're still tempted by the things of this world. And the Bible tells us not to store up our treasures here on earth, because this is going to be destroyed. Everything down here is going to be destroyed. He said, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Somebody say, this is where I draw the line.
This is where I draw the line.
Number two, don't let your flesh send you on a one-way ticket to hell. Again, don't let your flesh send you on a one-way ticket to hell. And the first temptation, it talks about an appeal to the lust of the flesh in verses 3-4. Notice that Matthew writes, when the tempter came, in our lives, it's not a question of if the tempter will come, but when will he come? We will face temptation until glory. But notice the tempter, knowing that Satan said, if thou be the Son of God. And then he tells Jesus, command these stones be made to bread. Come on now, my flesh, Jesus, he's like, my flesh is already weak. I got hunger pains, my head hurting. stomach sticking to the back of my spine, if I'm just using my imagination. And by now, I most likely lost a significant amount of weight. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit before his temptation. Jesus was also completely separated from the world before his temptation. But yet, Satan says, if you are the Son of God, the question asked by Satan is more literally, since you are the Son of God. But he said, if you are the Son of God. Satan did not question Jesus' deity. He didn't challenge him to prove it or demonstrate through his miraculous works. He said, if you are the Son of God, dear hearts, we have to be careful who we call our friend. These instigators, these troublemakers, the one who dares us to do something unholy and contrary to God's word. Sometimes they may just be your foe. They may just be your enemy. I always wanted you to prove to them who you say you are. Notice throughout the text, Satan tried to pressure Jesus by calling him out. He already knew that he is the Son of God, but he thought because he was at his weakest level physically, because he was at his weakest level mentally, or at his lowest level in life, that he could get him to give in because his flesh as a man was hungry. So he assumed that he didn't have much fight left. Know that it doesn't matter how strong you think you are in God and how strong you think you are in faith. The enemy will try to make your flesh arouse and take over and forget about a moral compass. Try to make you forget about your ethics and values that you were brought upon. Try to make you forget about whatever integrity you think you have. And if you are a spiritual punk, you will give in like a spiritual sucker. You know, I got an auntie who says, if you see a sucker, suck him up. If you see a sucker, suck him up. And that's what some of us, we are allowing Satan to suck us up into his traps, into the wiles, into the tricks that he has for us. He told Jesus, command that these stones become bread. That was a temptation to use God's gift for selfish purposes. And yet Satan suggested that Jesus would use his miraculous powers to provide food for himself. This wasn't a temptation to miraculously create great riches or a luxury or a house or a car. This was just only bread. And the Bible has many accounts of miraculous provisions, some at the hands of Jesus. Yet Jesus will not command that these stones become bread, especially at the instigation of Satan. But he did answer him. Jesus didn't silently disagree with Satan. He answered him. And he answered him from the what? From the word of God. And so when Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Jesus shows that every word that proceeds from the mouth of God should be more precious to us than food itself. He could have stood against Satan with a display of his own glory. He could have stood there against Satan with some logic and reason. He could have turned those stones into bread, but Jesus used the word of God as a weapon against Satan and temptation. And that's what we have to do. We have to use the what? The word of God to fight Satan and his tactics. Tell yourself once again, this is where I draw the line. And point number three I have here, dealing with verses 5-7, and we're almost finished. Verses 5-7. This deals with the second temptation. Point number two, don't self-destruct due to your pride. Don't self-destruct due to your pride. And this deals with the second temptation, which is an appeal to the pride of life, verses 5-7. Verses 5-7, where it talks about the devil took him up into a holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. If you can imagine the largest and the greatest and tallest building there is, and usually there's like a type of pole or something that's usually about 200 feet high from the actual tip of the building, and that tall building, God, Satan, he took him up there to tempt him. And he said, once again, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. If you are the Son of God, jump off. It's okay, jump off. And then Satan said, for it is written, he says, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Here it is, Satan, once again, these famous words that he's using, if you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt who? The Lord your God. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Jesus, he could have done that. He could have saved himself. He didn't have to call on a legion of angels to come and save him if he wanted to. He didn't have to do that, but he did not give in to Satan. Satan's appeal and his desire within every man, it gives about a sense of approval. We don't need no type of approval or validation from Satan or nobody else. We should know who we are in Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to be children of God, marching in Zion, step by step all the way. We should be just that. If we are strong enough in God, some of our belief is tainted. It's being stunted because we're not going the way we should, because we're not getting closer to God. Even in this COVID-19 experience, we're not getting closer to God. Some of us, we're not. Some of us still playing the same games, the same tricks. But notice, if you will, the devil, he can use this phrase as well. He said, for it is written. So that lets us know that we can trust and believe that the devil memorized the Bible himself. And he is an expert in quoting it out of its context and to confuse and defeat those he tempts. Here the devil quoted the 91st number of Psalms, verses 11 through 12, and took it out of context to say, go ahead, Jesus, if you do this, the Bible promises angels will rescue you, and it will be spectacular, and it will be a self-promotion. Satan borrowed our Lord's weapon. He borrowed our weapon by saying, it is written. But he did not use the sword lawfully. It was not the nature of the falseness that he used it. He left out the necessary words according to the scripture, where it talks about in all thy ways. In all thy ways. Thus he made the promise to say whatever he wanted to say, which was not true. We have to remember that we should keep our ways pure in the sight of God. Our intentions, our motives. What are your intentions? You have to ask that of even your so-called friends, your loved ones, whoever you come in contact with. What are your intentions? What are your motives? Because anybody can quote the word of God. a preacher can pretty much say whatever he wants or she wants if they quote the word of God just from a few texts out of scripture. And people will assume that they really know the Bible. But it is important for us, it is important for you as a believer in Christ to know the Bible for who? Yourself. And not be deceived by someone who's quoting the Bible, especially people that's not quoting the Bible accurately and without the correct application. It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus replied with scripture, but applied it correctly. And he knew that attempting to force or manipulate God the Father in such a demonstration would tempt God, which the scripture strictly tells us and forbid us not to tempt the Lord thy God. Somebody say, this is where I draw the line.
This is where I draw the line.
Our next point deals with the temptation and the appeal to the lust of the eyes. The temptation and appeal to the lust of the eyes. Next point is, don't let your eyes go shopping for your heart. Don't let your eyes go shopping for your heart. Somebody thank Nat King Cole for that. Go ahead. You can give him a, yeah, give him a hand right now. Just give him a hand right here. Somebody thank, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Somebody thank Nat King Cole for that. It's okay. Don't let what? Don't let your eyes go shopping for your heart. And this deals with all things. He said, I will give you all these things. This is Satan talking to Jesus. All these things I will give you. Essentially, the vision that was invited to Jesus, it took a, if he would have went along with this, catch this, if he would have went along with this, he would have took a shortcut around the cross. If he would have accepted this vision, this invitation that Satan was put before his eyes. Jesus came to win all the kingdoms of the world and their glory back from Satan's domain. And Satan offers them to Jesus as if he was only going to fall down and worship him. Here it is, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's already coming to die for our sins. And Satan is going to tempt him by saying all of this, all of these kingdoms of the world, come on now. Let's think about that. All that we have to do is give Satan what he was longing for. This is very familiar. This is revealing an insight. If you remember Satan's heart, when God saw that he had pride within himself, this is what Satan wanted. Satan only wanted someone to worship him in recognition for all his so-called precious voice and everything and his position. He just wanted somebody to fall down and worship him. He is still the one who said, I will ascend into heaven. Remember Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 through 14. He talks about, I will ascend into heaven. And he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This is Satan saying what he's going to do. I'm going to set my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the earth. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. And then he said what? I will be like the highest. So here's Satan. He tried to tempt Jesus with everything. And he failed to realize that everything already belonged to him. You remember that song? God has everything and everything belongs to him. Everything already belonged to him. If you look at the 50th number of Psalms, in verse 1, it talks about the mighty God, even the Lord had spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof out of Zion. the perfection of beauty that God had shined. But then when you go to verse 10 and 12, it says, for every beast of the forest is mine. Every beast of the forest is mine. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. So this is what we get where he says, a cattle of 1,000 hills, what? I already belong to who? To him. And then in verse 12 of the 50 number of Psalms, it says, he says, if I were hungry, and I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. If I was hungry, I would not even tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Jesus used a weapon that one can use when they're all alone. Jesus used a weapon to defeat temptation. Jesus used a weapon that was effective because he understood it. The weapon he used is the what? The Word of God. And when your flesh wants to take over and tempt you to do something that you can cause yourself to go to hell, when you feel weak and your mind is about gone, when you feel like all hope is gone, and when you feel like throwing in the towel, you should be able to say, guess what? I'm going to trust him in spite of. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Apply the word. No weapon formed against me shall what? Shall prosper, nor what? Succeed. The Lord is my what? My light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? For I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to wait until the battle is over. I'm not going to wait till it's over. I'm going to shout what? Right now. For all the marvelous things that he's what? That he's already done. Some of us, we'll cover your ears, children. Children, cover your ears. Cover your ears. Some of us will horn around with what little integrity we have. And we're losing self-respect. Kids, y'all from the cover, I think I'm okay for that. I told my wife, the quickest way for us in any relationship to end is if we lose respect for each other. And some of us cannot reverence God. Some of us cannot respect God and his deity. We can't even respect ourselves, our minds, our body, and our soul, and our spirit. We can't respect him. Because some of us, we still don't know him. Some of us are still playing church. Once again, you notice the church doors are closed. Some of us are still playing around. Some of us don't think this is real. Some people think, oh, this is just a dream. We'll go back to normal pretty soon. Guess what? It might lighten up, but these things, the Bible said, is going to happen. We're in the last days. Don't sell your soul for earthly junk, so-called friends, associates, or someone who told you that they love you and they don't even know God and the pardoning of their sins. One day all this mess, everything down here is going to be destroyed. Everything down here is going to be destroyed. Even your soul if you don't surrender to God. God is saying, I'm drawing the line. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. In the times of ignorance, the Bible said God, he used to wink at it. But now he's commanding all men everywhere to what? To repent. To turn away from all of this unrighteousness and turn to him. He's calling everybody to repent. We are without an excuse. Every time we turn on the TV, every time we go to YouTube, there's a channel that we can see where somebody is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no excuse. The Bible tells us, should we practice sin? Should we practice sin? God forbid. Some of us are being professional and spiritual prostitutes. Let me say that again. Some of us are being professional and spiritual prostitutes. We use the word of God how we want to use it to fit our unholy, our unrighteous lifestyle. And God is saying, it's time out for this mess. He said, I already sent my son to die on the cross for your sins. And he was tempted far greater than anyone. Come on now. It's time for us to stop playing games, because I don't know about playing games. God, he don't play games. You remember the commercial Silly Rabbit tricks are for kids? It's time to stop playing games. Grow up and get right. Can't you see that he closed the church doors to get our attention? It's not about the building. It's about relationship. And some of us don't have a relationship the way we need to. It's time for us to get right. Get it together while you have a chance, because you may not have this chance again. It's time for us to get right. It's not about the building. It's about relationship that can't nobody get for you but you. I tell my kids all the time as we teach them, can't nobody go to heaven but you, for yourself. I say, mama want to go for you. Daddy want to go for you. But guess what? We can't do it. Only you can go. If you choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and confess your sins, the Bible says he's what? Faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You have to tell yourself and Satan, this is where I draw the line. Say it. Come on. This is where I draw the line. You have to draw the line. Right now, you have to draw the line and say, for him I live and for him I die. God bless you and may he keep you is my prayer.
Daddy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, we'll now, Pastor Miss Rita, open the doors of the church. I'm going to mute everyone one more.
The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. If you do not know Jesus, now is the time, a good time to get to know him, because you never know what tomorrow may bring. And I think that what's happening in the world now is a prime example of that. As the preacher said, it's time to quit playing. It's time to get real. There are too many people playing. There are too many people who know the right word to say, but they still got mischief and meanness in their heart. If you're still living like that, now's the time to put all that aside. Now's the time to come to Christ while you can, because the door may not always be open. There's going to come a day when it's too late.
That's right.
The doors of the church are open. Doors of the church are open. Did anyone hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Okay, good.
Amen. Amen. We'd like to thank Ms. Reed for doing it. We'd like to thank everyone for being patient. And I know that can be kind of, you can be tired sitting for a minute. And we'd just like to thank you for your patience and joining in. At this time, we are going to just make an announcement about our tithes and offerings. Please know that you are able to give online. A lot of you did this on last week, last Sunday. Some of you, I was able to get funds from you who was having problems with the debit card and things of that nature. But we're encouraging everyone, if you can, please continue to support the church even while our doors are closed. We have needs that we have to meet, obligations that we have to fulfill. Even once this is all said and done, we still have to get to work and get back out there in the community and share the gospel to those who are lost. So we're asking for you to please, if you want to give me a call, those of you I have your card information in the system, and if you just want to let me know how much you would like to give, that would be fine. Also, remember, on last week we made the announcement that we are getting church some steel metal doors installed in the front of our church. If you drive by the church right now, you'll see the plywood that is up because someone broke in our church for the second time this year. So those doors are being fabricated. They're being specially made to fit our dimensions of our front part of our church. And so we're asking, because we had to get along to do this, we're asking for all members who can, please, for the next 3 months, please, please give at least $80 to the building fund. Please, I've already did the calculations to determine this based on upon our membership. And I'm just asking, if we all would do our part, we all will meet this need, we'll be able to pay this money back for getting these doors installed. This company is allowing us to get these doors installed, and the full payment has not been made. We should give them a hand for that. These doors are being installed, and the full payment hasn't been made. Amen. So only God, he can do that. Thank you. So we're asking that you please, if you can, $80 for the next 3 months to our building. Please do not let that negate or take away from your tithes and offerings. Thank you for that. Okay. And at this time, we'll not have any acknowledgments of guests. We're going to go ahead and skip over that and just go to our announcements. If Sister Mama Pritchett have any announcements, you may do that at this time.
Hello, everybody. We really don't have anything but Wednesday night Bible study, 7:30 p.m. Everybody can tune in on that. We'll have to send the other announcements out as far as Easter and stuff like that.
All right. Amen. Thank you. And at this time, we'll have a thank you by my one and only sister, Sister Bonds.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Giving praise to God, honor to Bishop Pritchett, to Minister Reed, to Minister Pritchett, to everybody that's here, to the members. I'm trying to work this. The gift of time is priceless. Valuable is the work you do, outstanding in how you always come through. Loyal, sincere, and full of good cheer. Untiring in your efforts throughout the year. Notable are the contributions you make, trustworthy in every project you take, eager to reach your every goal, effective in the way you fulfill your role, ready with a smile like a shining star, special and wonderful. That's what you are. Thank you so much for joining in on our service today. We pray the Lord continue to bless and keep each and every one of you. And we love you. And just continue to pray. And thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I just want to say, please know, after I finished the sermon here, some people were trying to chime in to the call. And I'm going to let everyone know, like I said, they changed this recently. So when you try to connect to the call, I have to individually select each person to come in for privacy reasons to make sure that you are who you say you are due to some issues that have happened. Presumably. So if I was delayed in accepting your request, please know that I apologize. but I'm trying to work the system, but also continue the format as well. Okay. At this time, we've had a thank you, and now we will proceed to communion. Amen. Amen. We're going to proceed to our communion. You know, there's quite a few people I've saw on social media and came across as I was delivering this, and some people who were members of our church, they were excited that we are able to take communion for the next 3 months. Yay! Yay. Some people were very upset that their church were not, you know, doing anything for this. So we're going to go ahead, and at this time, we will hear from Pastor.
Hey. Thank you very much, Minister Jerome. Thank God for you, for your message. Thank God for everyone who joined in to hear the word of God. At this time, I want to call your attention to St. Luke chapter 22. Well, you have your Bibles turned to St. Luke chapter 22. Beginning with verse 14 and the following verses. You have to say amen. St. Luke chapter 22, beginning verse 14. If you have it, say amen. Jerome, you have everybody on mute? Okay. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, what desire have I desire? To eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new testament of my blood, which is shed for you. But the blood of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. If you have your cup at this time, open it up. As you raise your lid, you will find two parts. On the first part of the cup, you shall find a wafer, a white wafer, which is the bread, and which is the symbol of the body of Christ. And up under that wafer in the cup, you will see the wine, which is a symbol of the blood of Christ. At this time, I'm going to ask you to take the wafer and eat it. Which is the symbol of the body of Christ. The wine is the symbol of the drip of blood. Drink it. But the Lord said, as often as you eat my body and drink of my blood, You do this as a memorial unto me, in remembrance of me. And remember him according to his word, the gospel, the life of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. I'm also looking for the date for his coming back, for his bride, the bride, the church. And when he do come back, the Bible says, the trumpet will be sound, a shall be equal, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us who are alive will be transformed in a moment of moving of eye, and called up to meet him in the air. Whoever shall we be with him, where the wicked will cease from troubling, and the weary will be at rest. And every day with the Lord will be like Sunday. We'll have no end. And every day with the Lord will be howdy, howdy, and no more goodbyes. For we'll be with him and praise him and worship him every day of our lives. For we will walk in peace every day with him. We thank God for you coming and being with us and accepting the message and the messenger. We also thank God for allowing us to do what so many people was not able to do on this day. And that is to be able to have the Lord's Supper and the communion. And let us all say amen.
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 Let us say, with you, God be with you.
May the grace of God and the favor of Jesus Christ and love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. And everyone said amen.
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 Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Come here. Oh Lord, I think you said hello.
Bye, Brother Jones.
Hey, Brother
bye,
Jones.
Bye, Kennedy. Bye, Kathy.
Bye, bye. And this little baby.
Bye.
Bye, Michael. Bye, Brian. Love y'all.
Hey, Quentin.
Well, it's cold outside. I'm tired now.
Everyone, also, we want to say for those who are still on the call, we thank Mr. Kirby.
Bye, Sister Kirby. Love
you. Thank Mr. Kirby for her desserts.
Woo!
I'm going to eat it up all by myself.
Let me go,
I already gained maybe 15 pounds being at home. I'm going to eat this up all by myself.
Oh no, we can't do this.
Hey, Patsy.
Bye.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Bless everybody.
Bye bye.
Oh, you welcome. You welcome.